We have now been on the journey of Lent for almost 3 whole weeks. And we had set out to begin this journey discussing what it means to be authentically initiated and living the reality of Christianity. And of course, a few weeks back, I borrowed this gospel to talk about the sacrament of baptism. I'm not going to repeat what I said then. So if you wish to recap, go listen to it on the internet. I want to talk about the other sacraments. Grace. What does it mean to live a life of grace? When you enter the seminary, the first thing you learn in sacraments class is that sacraments are efficacious. And then every man likes to show his intelligence by using that word as often as possible. You know what it means? Effective. Does it carry as much weight as the men put on it? No, it's a party trick. The reality, though, while not impressive, is important. The sacraments do what we say. They convey and even create grace. They are the way, they are the privileged way in which God has given to us to receive and give grace. Now, grace, St. Augustine tells us, is the help of God. To which I respond, dear St. Augustine, I don't know if that's made this thing any clearer for me. I don't know if that's helped at all. So when you look up grace in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it gives you several pages of stuff. I'm not going to run through all of this, but it talks about a couple of things that are extremely important. Sanctifying grace. Same root as saint. It is the grace by which God makes us holy and is the principal effect of baptism. It's also the principal thing that we lose by sin. When we talk about mortal sin, death of the soul, that is what happens. Sanctifying grace leaves us. We are still baptized, but we lack the benefit of our baptismal character. So how do you get it back? The sacrament of reconciliation. The primary grace of the sacrament of reconciliation, shocker, is reconciliation with God. This is not going to be very complicated, a story, right? The sacraments give us grace. Probably the strangest of all of them is matrimony, marriage. Why is it strange? Because the rite of marriage talks about how marriage is the one thing not forfeited by original sin or wiped away by the flood. It is primordial. John Paul II would go on to say that marriage is the primordial sacrament. If there is no fall, there's one sacrament, marriage. And just like with the people of Israel, the rituals multiplied as their sins repeated themselves. Now we need 7 sacraments when one would have done. So again, the ritual for marriage talks about how God takes the natural reality of marriage and elevates it to the level of the sacraments. And in the sacrament of marriage, God creates for us a mini icon of the relationship between God and his church. Profound stuff. What is the grace of the sacrament of matrimony? Well, we have 3. It's faithful, it's free, and it's fruitful. Now you would say to me, Father, those are the natural realities of marriage. Yes. And you would say to me, but it's not gotten any easier. And I would say, yes. Unfortunately, St. Thomas Aquinas says, grace does not replace nature. It perfects it. What does that mean? That means life doesn't get any easier because you're baptized. But now you're baptized and you go to fight life. Marriage is not necessarily any easier because you're married in the sacraments. You know how I know that? Because your spouse still going to be human. And their spouse, you know, you, still human. There was a commentator one time, and it might have been one of my priest friends. He says, people always look at me like, am I compatible with my fiance? And I look at them and I go, are you a man? Yeah. Is she a woman? Yeah. You're not compatible. Simple enough. You got to fight this stuff out. The book of Proverbs says, as iron sharpens iron, man sharpens his fellow man. I don't know if you've ever sharpened iron. It is not a quiet experience. It's relatively violent for the iron. Because you know how you sharpen iron? You take a bunch of it away. And then what you're left with is a sharp blade. The sacraments give us grace. They give us help. But we still got to cooperate with it. Sacrament of the anointing of the sick. What does that give us? Healing. Forgiveness of sins. Preparation. Accompaniment. So that when we go into the great darkness that is death, when we fight that final battle, go on the last great adventure, we are accompanied with Christ. Holy orders. What is the grace of holy orders? Well, some will say it's this mystical experience in which everything that was strange about priests, that's when that happens. And I don't think that's the case at all. Much about what makes holy orders is Jesus. It's not that the man changes. It's that your relationship with him changes. I remember very vividly a day, it was one of our youth rally events, and I was walking through the quad at Nichols, and this young person who I hadn't seen for a couple of years, but they remembered me. I wasn't even a priest, I was just a seminarian at the time. I might have been a transitional deacon. She runs up to me and just super warm embrace, very wonderful, cute little, you know, 15-second interaction. Then she runs off to go, you know, talk with her friends. And I remember turning to some of the other seminarians, guys, my juniors by several years, and saying, that was the love of the people of God for Jesus Christ. I could have been literally anybody. And yeah, maybe I made a big impact, but it's the way in which they love Jesus Christ. That's the grace of holy orders. And if I may make one comment about us, the more in which the individual priest can get himself out of the way and let Jesus Christ come through his ministry, the more powerful the grace of holy orders is displayed. Now, obviously, there's one I've left out, right? I've already talked about baptism. I'm not repeating that. Confirmation is very similar to baptism. You're conformed to Jesus Christ and sent on mission. Primary grace of confirmation and something to do with mission. But I want to settle on the Eucharist. I remember when we were doing the diocesan strategic plan, they talked about the 5 stages of development of a missionary disciple, but then they talked about the 9 aspects of a missionary disciple. And one of them really caught me. A disciple lives the life of the sacraments. And if there's no other way for me to say it, the sacraments are a part of their life. Not extraneous, not secondary, but it's a planned part of my life. It's a piece that I choose to do. If you remember with me, 75% of all Catholics stay away from the Eucharist on a regular basis. You wonder why we're struggling? The greatest gift of thanksgiving that the church has ever expressed or experienced is in the Eucharist. It is the most important thing Jesus Christ has ever done for us. And a full 3/4 of us stay away. Now, not to lament there's 100 people here, there's supposed to be 400 people, to which our church is not big enough. That would be a lovely problem to have, but we ain't got that problem today. But to be reminded that that's what happens when you don't take grace and the sacraments seriously. These are not just rites of passage. Something really happens. Something really happens. Something really and really important happens in the sacraments. And yet, so many of our brothers and sisters can just take it or leave it. Okay. Now, again, not to lament that, but for us, it's important that you integrate this into your life. If you are an adult and you have not received the sacrament of confirmation next year, in the fall, I do adult confirmation. Please sign up. You have an obligation, most people don't know this, but Catholics have an obligation to complete their sacraments of initiation. Please come receive the sacrament of holy orders. Please, for the love of God, some of you, somebody come and join me up here. Not what I meant, but pray for me. All of our little brothers who are, God has called into the priesthood. Complete the sacraments of initiation. Come receive confirmation. If you are married but not benefiting from the sacrament of matrimony, I want to help you with that. I really do. I am a little terrified with the amount of paperwork that this is going to generate for me, but please let me help you regularize your marriage. Because the sacraments are important and grace is important. If you've been away from confession for a long time, this is your moment. This is your sign. We're going to have a whole bunch of time for confession during Lent. Don't keep yourself away from grace any longer. Because grace is mysterious as the Lord, but it's real, and it's real easy to get a hold of. You just have to celebrate the sacraments. If you're sick, somebody you know is sick, I just found this out. We're obliged, we're supposed to. Not like it's a good piece of advice, you're supposed to. And the pressure is on you, not on me, which I find that funny, but that's what the church has done it. To ask for the anointing of the sick and specifically to receive Eucharist as food for the journey before you die. So this may not be so much for you, hopefully. Nobody in this room anytime soon. But if there's somebody in your life who's really sick, and I'm not talking about like they're actively going to die in the next 15 minutes. Yes, please do that. But just, yeah, we know where this is going. That's all it takes. We know where this is going. Ask for the anointing of the sick. Live the life of the sacraments. Because there is grace God wants to give you that you and I are just not accessing. Because maybe we're afraid. Maybe we're concerned. Maybe just a little bit of, that's probably the worst one. I just can't be bothered. That's okay. Y'all, we have all been there. When I was in the seminary, not so much anymore. When I was in seminary, you know what access we had to the sacraments? Every day we had access to confession. And it would still be 2 or 3 months before I go to confession. Every day. It was easy. And I stayed away. Not for long periods of time, 2 or 3 months. But for having daily access to the sacrament, look, we've all been there. I took it as my rule whenever I think about it and go, I don't know. That was when it was definitely, when I found myself resisting, that was when it was time. So, live the life of the sacraments. Make sure it's part of your rhythm. Because there is something God really does want to give you through these things. Today we're going to share the Eucharist. Let's continue to pray for one another.